Oh, come forth, Brother Aaron.
What?
Brother Aaron, tell me, who gave the Sermon on the Mount?
Jesus?
And who walked on water and turned his fishermen pals into his disciples, Brother Aaron?
Jesus.
And who took one fish and one loaf of bread and fed hundreds of people through a miracle through faith, Brother Aaron?
Why do you keep calling me brother? Jesus did, I guess.
And who said it was easier to put a camel through the eye of a needle than to get a rich man into heaven? Aaron, Brother Aaron, tell me.
Well, I mean, I don't think Jesus said that, but like it's from the Bible, so I guess Jesus?
And who died for our sins upon the cross so that we could all get into the kingdom of heaven with our Holy Father?
I know Aaron. I know this one. It's Jesus.
Aaron, Brother Aaron, kneel with me and accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord.
Hey. You got to stop this. Like, I'm an atheist. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just trying to convert you to Christianity. Like,
why would you even do that? You're an atheist as well.
Oh, yeah, I guess I forgot. I saw that movie, The Apostle, and like it really got me revved up. I'm really sorry.
I've never seen it.
You haven't seen it?
You haven't seen it?
No way.
You're out of order! Ah,
you're killing me, Smalls.
Fasten your seatbelt.
You're tearing me apart!
Houston, we have a problem.
What we've got here is... failure.
Conceivable. God damn you all to hell.
Hello and welcome to
You Haven't Seen It,
the podcast where I force my wife to watch movies she never cared to see. I'm your host, Joey.
And I'm the preacher's wife who never seen this movie.
I wasn't expecting that.
I wasn't expecting it either. I was like, oh, shoot, I didn't think of one.
Oh, okay.
And so it just popped up in my head.
Well, you also lied. You're not a preacher's wife.
I'm not. My husband's atheist, so he's far from a preacher.
Whatever a preacher is, I'm the complete opposite.
I'm a preacher, man. Anyway.
Do you think you could be married to someone in the clergy?
Well, I was raised Catholic, so no.
What do you mean?
If I were to be part of any Christian religion, it would still be Catholicism.
Well, what if I was in, what do they call that where you train to be a pastor or whatever? Seminary? What if I was in seminary instead of college when we met? Because I was in college when we met.
I mean, I have no idea. I probably would have been like, okay, I mean... You do your thing. Because I was still kind of somewhat practicing when we first got together.
Right. But, well, I mean, lucky for me, you, even though you were Catholic, you weren't like, I have to have a Catholic husband.
Yeah.
So that worked out for me.
I've never been like, they need to be Catholic. My mom was very like adamant about, like, she would tell me like, oh, Aaron, like, go to this like singles night at this Catholic church.
Yeah, I know about that.
Because she wanted me to marry someone Catholic. At least Christian. And I didn't do either. So, hi, chow.
Yeah. I dated someone for a while who was Catholic. And
me.
I'm
just kidding.
No, someone else. But
we dated a very short amount of time.
Yeah, we did. But we just knew it. We knew it. We were right for each other.
Yeah.
But we dated for a little while. And like I was never even considering marrying this person. But... one day, just out of the blue, she says, I can never marry you because you're not Catholic. And I was like, ugh. Like, I didn't like it that she said that to me. Kind of, it was one of those nails in the coffin of the relationship. I was like, okay, well, if that's how you feel, then
what's the point of doing this?
Yeah. Even though I wasn't thinking about marriage at all at that time in my life to anyone. Anyway, so how you doing?
I'm good. How long before you met me did you date them?
Oh, a long time.
Mm.
I want to say it was at least 6 or 7 years Before I even met you.
Yeah, so you were in your early 20s.
Yeah, like 23.
Yeah, well, which is when I married you.
That's how old you were
when
you
married me. Yeah, that's how old I was when I married you. But, yeah.
Well,
but
I
knew.
I always wanted to get married, but I wasn't like trying to rush it. If I had met somebody at 23 that I felt like I wanted to do that with, I would have. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't like actively seeking it.
Yeah. Some people say that men have to be ready to be married. And whenever they're ready, they'll get married to whoever it is that they're with. Whereas like women will find the right guy.
I think that both of those are very unfair generalizations.
I know, yeah. But yeah, it's a thought. Maybe we only got married because I was the person at that moment when you were ready.
No, definitely not.
Okay. I don't think that's why either. I think it's because I got pregnant.
No, I'm just kidding. Maybe that is a little part of it, but no,
I love
you.
Definitely helped push the needle along.
I think it happened a lot faster because of that.
Yeah.
But no, I wanted to marry you. I'm in love with you. I'm still in love with you. I was in love with you then, and I knew you'd be a wonderful partner for me.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's turn off this stupid love fest thing. How's your week?
My week was actually really good. This is the first week I've actually gotten to rest during the week. And yesterday we went to this really cool bird sanctuary. It's not even a sanctuary, really.
It's partially a sanctuary.
Yeah. They do rescue birds, but they also have like bred birds that they breed there.
Bred birds? That sounds funny.
Bread birds. But we got to like see a bunch of different birds, and it was really, really cool. And it was really cool to watch our daughter get to interact with some of the birds. Like there was this one really sweet bird that was letting everyone pet it.
Yeah.
I think it was a cockatiel. And it was like,
it was a big bird.
It was a big bird, and it was pink, but it was so sweet.
Yeah. I think it was sick though, because there was a sign that saying like it's seeing a veterinarian, yeah. So it's not for sale.
So, but that like it was a really sweet bird.
Yeah, it was. There was some really cool birds there. Some like big macaws that like,
yeah, they were huge.
And they like literally they were so big they were kind of scary.
Yeah, one of them on their cage said, "Do not mess with this bird, it will break your bones."
Yeah. So if you stick your finger in the cage, it could bite you so hard that it'll break your finger.
Yeah.
Which is scary.
Yeah. We have little parakeets and sometimes they're scary. I'm scared they're going to peck my eyes out one day. But I don't think they will.
Yeah. I'm afraid of growing up in the city, I'm afraid of a lot of animals. Like if they seem wild at all, like mm-hmm. I just, yeah.
Yeah. But then today we went and ate lunch and just kind of got to hang out as a family. And so it's been a really nice, relaxing weekend.
Yeah. And you are officially done with school and camps and everything, right?
Finally. And so, and then next, so not this week, but next week, we're going to be at Disney. So when our next episode comes out, we're going to be at Disney World.
Yeah, when
so
it drops.
I'm super, super excited. So we got to record it a little early. Granted, we record all of them a little early so that we can get them edited and out in time. But I'm so, so fucking pumped for Disney.
So next week when you hear us, we'll be at Disney. And then the week after that, when you hear us, we'll probably be talking about it a little bit because we're going to record the weekend after we get back for our next episode.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yep. So okay.
I'm feeling in great spirits. How are you, Joey?
I'm fantastic. You guys are out for summer, so I can just go to work and then come home and not have to worry about a whole lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It really makes my life a lot easier when you're out for the summer too.
Yeah, I can actually do things at home.
Yeah.
Because whenever it's the school year, I'm so swamped with work. I'm working literally 6 days a week.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. and it is tiring.
Yeah, to say the least.
And
it's exhausting for the whole family.
Yeah. So it's really nice to have summers. That's why one reason I was kind of didn't want to do the summer camps, because I was so exhausted from the school year. But the summer camp was actually kind of refreshing. It was really relaxed. My daughter got to be part of it.
Yeah. And it was only 4 days a week.
Yeah. And the kids were really fantastic. They did some really great stuff. And so it was like inspiring to be like, elementary kids can do the stuff that I teach my high school students, and right. they complain about it all the time. So it's like, calm down. Elementary kids do this, mm-hmm. and they're fine with it.
Yeah.
Like, you can do this. They're like, this is too hard. It's not.
High school kids are just so lazy sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I know, because I was one once. Yeah. All right. Same. So today we're going to be talking about The Apostle. Yeah. It's a 1997 movie starring Robert Duvall. This was his baby. He wrote it. He starred in it. He directed it. He even put up like $4 million to get the movie made, because nobody wanted to invest in a movie like this. Why, I'm not really sure. Maybe just because it's kind of like a small picture. It's not like a big budget movie that's going to make a lot of money.
I wonder why he wanted to tell this story.
Well, it said when he was traveling through the South or something, he stopped at some Pentecostal church.
Oh.
And he saw the way that they preached. And he was just like, wow, that's really interesting. I don't think it was because he grew up,
okay,
you know, going to churches like this. But anyway, it's an interesting kind of movie, character driven for sure. Aaron, did you know anything about this movie before we watched it?
No, I never heard about it at all.
Oh,
period.
Okay, short answer. Did you know who Robert Duvall was?
No, not really. He looks a little bit familiar, but I don't really know any of his stuff.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff, and we're going to play a little game with all his movies later.
Yeah.
Did you know Farrah Fawcett?
Yes, I know Farrah Fawcett.
Okay.
From Charlie's Angels.
Yes, from Charlie's Angels and various other things. I really think she never got her due as an actor.
No, she definitely was kind of, she had a really great time in the 70s, and then she was kind of pushed off to the side.
Yeah, but there's some, she's had some really great performances under her belt over the years.
Yeah, I think she's a really great actress. She did a really great job in this movie, too.
Yeah, she was good, but she wasn't in it very much,
yeah,
unfortunately. And then also, somebody's in it that we are like more recent fans of, and I can't find his name.
I have no idea.
Uncle Baby Billy from Walton Goggins is his name.
Yeah, you're right.
But
Uncle Baby Billy, he's
been a journeyman actor until somewhat recently, but he's been in The Righteous Gemstones, Vice Principals. He's done some stuff on HBO, mm-hmm. but he's in this movie, and he's quite good too, even though he's not in it a lot. He doesn't have a lot of lines.
No.
So what are your like initial impressions of the movie?
Well,
like 10 minutes in, what did you think the movie was going to be about?
So whenever you told me that it was The Apostle, I knew it was going to be somewhat religious. Just based off of the name, and we watched like a short little clip, the trailer.
Yeah, we watched the trailer.
And, from that, I gleaned that this was very similar to some of the people that, lived in my small town where I'm from. Very similar church style.
Right.
I've been to churches like this. Pentecostal churches, even non-denominational. I've been to a lot of different types of churches in the South, because I had friends that were congregants. That were
members of the congregation.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Of the church. And so I would like, when I would stay the night and it was Sunday, like we would go to church. I would go to church with them. So I've experienced a lot of different churches.
I have not experienced very many churches, but you know, living in Texas, and then I lived in Georgia and North Carolina for a little while, you sort of get a feel for this culture of like Southern Baptists, I would call it, these preachers and people who go to these churches who will talk a whole bunch and use a lot of words, but what, like, the actual message of what they're saying is like, you could have just said, like, I like God.
Yeah.
And, but you just talked to me for like a whole 3 minutes to say that. It's just, it's very wordy.
Yeah.
And very lofty and very like soulful. Like they're emanating a lot and they're moving mm-hmm. around a lot. It's just, but.
Well, something that, one of the reasons that I have never really liked going to church besides the Catholic Church I don't like that performative aspect. It feels very like forced. It feels like they're forcing people to feel things, even though it's not something that's coming of their own volition. Like it feels so forced to me. Like, and this is my own opinions. If you're religious and you have different opinions, like you can have your own opinions of religion. These are just what I've experienced growing up in a Catholic church and going to see, cause my mom's side is Catholic, but my dad's side is like Baptist and Pentecostal. And so they like whenever you said he went to some Pentecostal churches, I was like, that's what it is. Because I've been to some Pentecostal churches and like I've seen people talking in tongues. One time when I was...
Well, this movie very much stays away from that aspect of it.
But the animation of it and all of that is still present, which I feel is kind of manipulative.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think the entire Christian religion is manipulative. I think the manipulation is built into the religion because it says like, oh, if you want to go to heaven...
Mm-hmm. And you got to believe how we believe.
Yes, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Like, it's built into it. There's no, I don't believe that there is like a non-manipulative Christian church out there who would just be like, okay, yeah, fine. You can go on not believing anything, but you know what? You're going to go somewhere.
You're going to go to hell.
You're going to go someplace that you don't like. You know, there's always that little bit of
that
like,
stipulation.
Well, you can if you want, but you know what happens to those people? You know, I just, I've been approached by so many people like that throughout my life being an atheist. It's like, look, man, I'm incapable of believing any of this garbage.
Yeah. I've even had like growing up Catholic in a small town where most people are Southern Baptist or Pentecostal or these more extreme kind of Christian religions. I've had people say your religion is wrong. And like they spout so much hatred towards me. And like,
Well, it's like, towards anyone who's different than them.
Yes.
It's not you specifically.
And I'm not saying like, oh, the Christian or the Catholic religion has never done anything wrong, because yes, they have done a lot of things very wrong. And
you want to name some, or you just want to go down the list?
Down the list? There's a lot of things. I probably can't even think of right now. But I'm not... I don't know how to say it. I just... Like, having someone, like, say that your religion is wrong or that you're wrong, your way of thinking is wrong, is so hurtful and, like, disgusting. I went to a Baptist church one time and... literally the preacher on the pulpit was standing up there and was like, the Catholics believe this and this and this. And I was like, no, we don't. they were like, they worship Mary. And I was like, no, we don't.
This is very much a lot. Like if you're trying to understand MAGA and Trump supporters, it's like, it's a lot of very Pentecostal, very Southern Baptist type people who are like, this is the way, and that's not the way.
Yeah. And like, literally, I wanted to stand up and say, all of what you said is incorrect because I'm Catholic and you're a jerk. And I wanted to walk out, but I didn't. I held my tongue, and it was so frustrating because literally almost every single person I went to school with went to that church. And so if I did that, people would like hate me at school.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can't say anything.
Yeah, that would be social death for you at your small town high school.
But watching this, like, I felt very like icky and the feeling, it's Robert Duvall, right?
Yeah.
So his character, so many of the things he did reminded me of my grandfather.
Right.
On my pawpaw on my dad's side. Just because like he was drinking a lot and he was like smoking and he was like on his deathbed and he was like, I found Jesus. And then all of a sudden he became this preacher and like he would go to different churches and take me with him sometimes. I hated it. But he reminded me a lot of my grandfather.
Right.
Which I didn't like. My grandfather wasn't a horrible person. But I never was like, oh my gosh, let me stay in my grandpa's house.
Right, yeah.
Never wanted to do that, ever.
Yeah, I totally get that. I was going to say, we were talking about just Christianity as a whole. And I would say, if I had to choose a religion, I would choose Judaism. Because a big part of Judaism is like, we don't go around witnessing to people and trying to get people to join our religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a birthright thing. Like if you really want to become Jewish, you can.
Yeah.
And you got to read a bunch of books and you got to get a little skin nipped off your dick. Cause I've heard about adults having to do that when they convert.
Well, there's also like different branches of Judaism. And I mean, like, they're like, I would also say that they are the most,
I'm talking about the mainstream thing. Yeah, I'm not talking about like Hasidic Jews or what's the traditional, I forget what they call that, fundamentalism or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. But
it'll come back to me.
It doesn't matter. But
I don't know. Tradition, I don't know.
Yeah, if I had
tradition, tradition.
But if I had to be some sort of monotheistic religion, I think that's the one I would choose.
They're also like, what I was going to say is that they're like the most accepting religion of like the most popular religions. I feel like they're very accepting of a lot of people.
Yeah, I think so too.
I used to work at a Jewish community center. So I was around a lot of Jewish people and like they were always so accepting of everyone that came in. They like the kids that were at the camp, like they didn't treat you any differently if you weren't Jewish.
No, but also they're not a majority religion here. So like they just couldn't get away with that ever.
Yeah. And but people already
hate Jews enough.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's no way they could get away with doing some of the stuff that Christians do.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying like they're very like accepting. Like we even had, when I was working there, we had the, like during a training one year, they had this community activist for LGBTQIA+ individual, like children. And they came in, they were like, this is how we deal. Like, this is like, I'm Jewish. This is how we interact with people of this community. Like, it's okay. In the Jewish community, there's nothing that says like, you should never, like, don't do that. Like, it's, so they're very accepting of people and their idealisms.
Yeah. I used to wonder, fundamentalists. I used to do freelance work for the same Jewish community center that you taught at. And sometimes I would wonder, like, do they think that I'm Jewish?
No.
And then one day one of them was like, so how was your Christmas? I was like, okay, they don't think I'm Jewish. But I would, like, I'm totally fine. If they thought that I was Jewish, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
But I kind of also think they knew that I wasn't.
Yeah.
So anyway, you want to get into the movie?
Or
you have some other things you want to bring up real quick before we get into it?
I think I'll bring them up as we go through the movie.
Okie dokie. All right, so the movie starts in 1939, and a young little boy, Robert Duvall, is being taken to church by, I guess, his mom.
Yeah, something about this movie at the very beginning, it was very confusing because it started off with that scene and then it jumps forward, but it doesn't say it jumps forward.
Yeah.
it just jumped forward. And I was like, wait, those seem like they're in, like, I literally wrote the note. The first scene looked like it was in a whole different decade than the previous one or the second scene. And I was like, what the hell is happening? It didn't make sense.
Well, the first one said 1939, and then the second scene,
it's like a car crash.
Yeah, but there's like modern cars around. So.
Yeah, so I was very confused.
Oh, that was confusing.
That was so, I was like, what? That was so, like, the, what is it called whenever it's like consistent throughout the movie?
Consistency?
Anyways, yeah, it was not, I was like, this is so inconsistent for this movie to start off in this decade, and like all of a sudden they have these modern cars and they look like they're in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, I think that whole thing at the beginning with him going to church as a little boy could have been cut off completely. It's highly unnecessary.
Yeah.
We know that this guy's been going to church his whole life. We can tell.
Yeah, and he looked bored. Like, I think one of the things that they were trying to say, like, oh, he's been going to church his whole life and it's been a big part of his life. But he didn't seem interested. The little boy was just like, man, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, maybe it was one of those situations where his parents are like, you're going to be a big child actor. And he's like, I don't want to.
But like, the if they wanted to keep that in there, they should have had him being like really like captivated by the preacher, like that he was watching. But it was not. Like, everyone else was like, yeah, we're having a decent church service, and the kid was like, I don't want to be here. I want to go home and play with my, I don't know, fiddlesticks.
Yeah.
Fiddlestick. I don't know.
What, my cup and a ball.
I want to play with my cup and a ball. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think they could have just lost that whole scene. We didn't need it. Like, we can tell this guy's been a Southern church going person his whole life.
Yeah.
He could have just showed up at that car accident and done his little business.
Yeah.
We didn't need it at all.
Yeah, because the car wreck happens, and he goes up to this person in the car, and he's like, I'm going to pray for you, brother, and we're going to save your soul, and da da da. And a cop comes over, and he's like, dude, you can't do this.
Yeah.
But he was so like, I'll let him do it, and I'm just going to say, oh, you can't do it. Wink, wink, wink. Hey, stop it, dude. You can't do that. Go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, that... That cop gave up pretty quick.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was like, he sensed that some guy was going to die. Sort of. And he's like, I'm going to go get him to accept Jesus on his deathbed so that he doesn't go to hell.
Yeah.
And it makes you go, oh man, this guy, like, he took the time out of his day and could have possibly gotten arrested by the police.
Yeah.
For interfering with their crime scene or whatever. And you're like, wow, this guy, he could be a really great guy. But you find out pretty quickly, no.
Yeah, nope.
And there was an interesting line where he said, I'd rather die today and go to heaven than live to be 100 and go to hell.
Yeah,
or something like
that. I wrote
that
line down.
So that one line is very revealing about who this guy is.
Yeah.
And this whole opening scene really develops his character quite a bit. So at this point in the movie, what did you think you were watching?
Well, I thought he was going to be, I was kind of confused. I was very confused still because I didn't realize it was him until later. I didn't realize that first scene was him as a kid.
Well, no, I'm just.
But I'm getting somewhere.
Okay.
Hold on. But I didn't realize it was him as a kid. So I was very confused at this moment. And I was like, what the hell is happening? Because I was just like, okay, so he's just this preacher guy. And I did not understand how that connected to the beginning. And so I was trying to figure out how it connected to the beginning.
Like I said, the whole part was unnecessary.
And then we cut to him in the car with his mom. And I was like, you brought your mom out there? So it was, I was just like, oh, this is just some preacher guy. We also watched the little clip thing earlier, and I was like, I know he had, like, I thought he was going to run away from his past, which he kind of does, but, like, I thought he was going to make, I don't know, this, like, whole new life and be like, I'm God himself and
okay,
stuff. So I thought he was going to be like, I am the apostle and like, I'm going to save everyone in this town. Okay.
So what you're getting at here is like, you still hadn't really made up your mind about what you thought you were seeing yet.
Exactly.
Okay. That's all you needed to say.
Okay.
All right, so he gets those people who were possibly on their deathbed to accept Jesus, and then we see him at his mom's house with his wife and his kids, and they're singing about God again.
Yeah.
And his mom is sitting there. And
she loves it.
Yeah.
And the first thought that came into my head, it was like, oh my God, his wife is so much younger than him.
Yeah.
Because Farrah Fawcett looks great because she's beautiful, and he looks like an old fart.
Yeah,
and I was like, what did you see in him?
One, Robert Duvall is one of those actors who's looked old since he was like 30.
Oh, okay.
And then two, he wrote this movie in the mid-80s.
Okay.
So he's like 13, 14 years older than he wanted to be when he originally wanted to make it.
Oh, okay.
But there is that thing in Hollywood about older men being cast alongside much younger women. So I can't fault you for thinking that.
Because
I thought it too. I thought it multiple times. Because he goes to that other town and he starts dating a woman who's like 20 years
way
younger
than him again. Younger than Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. God, dude, date your own age. after his wife is there, I just thought like, why is his wife getting in? I was like, his wife is so young. And then she got in the car because she was like, I have to leave with kids. And the kids and her got in a car. And there was a guy there. And I was like, oh, wait, it's not his wife. It's his daughter. It's not his daughter. It is his wife. It's so confusing.
Yeah.
Because of their age difference. Like he just, maybe he just really, he's, I don't know how much older he is than Farrah Fawcett.
I don't think a whole lot older.
But she looked great. And he
because
looked,
they were both around and acting around the same time. I think he's older, but not like a shit ton older.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's just one of those guys who, like, he was playing older guys, like, in the 80s and stuff. But, yeah, you're not wrong for thinking any of those things. But she's in the car with some other person who's also part of their church, and they leave.
Yeah. Also, something else that was very, really inconsistent that I was confused about was the woman that was bringing that little boy to church was not his mom, right?
I don't know who that was.
It was a very large woman, and she looked either mixed or just the sepia filter made her look very like tan.
I think the important thing to take away from that scene was like it was a black church.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was confused. I was like, oh, wait, is that his like nanny or something that's taking him to church?
Oh, yeah, that could be.
But then like his because mom is supposed to be like super duper religious, but she was never going to church with him.
Yeah. But I mean, also, you know, one of the few jobs that black women could get in 1939 was a job taking care of someone else's kid. So that's a good point that I didn't think of.
Well, yeah, but my question about the mom, the grandma, is she, like, she's supposed to be this super religious lady, but she was never at church with them. So it was just like a little like, okay, weird.
Who knows?
Anyways.
Yep. So she takes off. She goes off with the kids to go home or something like that. And then he goes back inside and his mom's like, oh, can you go get the comforter?
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone. And when,
but she before he goes to get her the comforter, she goes, "Don't let her have the kids." Talking about their kid, like their two children, like she was like, "Don't let your wife keep the kids. Like you need them."
Oh,
but I think it's because she just doesn't want to let her grandchildren go because she knows he's like not a great person. But
that's probably it.
She seems like a very big enabler.
Yeah, but also kind of manipulative too, because he goes to get that comforter and he comes back and she's laying on the floor.
Like she's dead.
Like she's unconscious or dead or something. And then he doesn't read into it all. He totally calls her bluff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I have to go to work. And she just kind of looks up as he walks out.
Yeah.
So we're kind of, they develop his character more and it's like, okay, well maybe he didn't have the best home life, and where is his dad? Like, his dad is nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
And they never even mention, like, if he died or something.
I think there's, like, a small mention of his dad, but it's not, like, anything of importance.
Okay, well, I don't remember.
It was during, like, the, when he was, like, with the guy that was fishing.
Uh-huh.
I think he like mentions his dad very briefly.
Okay.
But it's not really anything.
Yeah, I remember. There's a lot of, another thing about this movie is there's a lot of talking, but the talking is just sort of how like Southern people have a tendency to ramble.
Yes.
And say it use a lot of words to say very little, which is something that drove me nuts when I lived in Georgia. But
I mean, that's everyone that I grew up with.
Yeah, because you grew up in the country.
Yeah.
I grew up thinking that all those things you see on TV, like King of the Hill, I thought those were just stereotypes.
No. Nope.
I thought those were jokes because I grew up in the city.
Yeah.
And so, but when I started like travel outside the city, like in my later teens, I was like, oh, wait, that's real?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't know people wore cowboy hats. I didn't know white people wore cowboy hats. Here in Houston, a lot of Latino people wear cowboy hats.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that. And I didn't know people dipped and chewed. Like, I thought that was something only in the movies.
Oh, no, yeah. My dad did.
Yeah, he still does.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so.
But then later on, we find out, like, he does something with his friend, and then he goes to his wife's house, and he's looking for, he's like, Jesse, and he's looking in every single room. She's not there, and he's like, I know where she is. She's at her boyfriend's house, and
You're skipping over, it's not that important, but they show him, he's traveling around with a revival, evangelizing with people. So he's on the road and his wife can just essentially do whatever.
Yeah.
And
he makes it back home and he's looking for his wife and she's like, oh, she's at the other house.
Right.
And he grabs a gun while he's at the other house.
Yeah.
Or at, a revolver. At his house. And he says something to the point of, he cheated on his wife or like, forgive me for my wandering eye.
Right. Yeah.
Which it's like, was it wandering or was your penis also wandering? You know?
Yeah. Well, there,
cause now, you can look at the menu, but you can't take a bite.
You can look at the menu, but you can't order that piece of ass.
Oh my God.
What? But anyway, we're starting to set up like, maybe he's not the guy that we think he is.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not some like good preacher guy.
No. Yeah. And, he goes to her boyfriend's house and he turns the lights off before he even gets in the driveway. Cause he wants to sneak up on them.
Right.
And she hears the car and she's like, oh, it's Sunny. And,
well, he tries to shoulder in the door.
Well, that's like she wakes up to the car coming in.
Okay.
And then he.
Oh, yeah.
He breaks the window after he tries to knock on the door and everything. And so you see, like, he's super duper manipulative. She's super scared of him. You can tell she's scared of him.
Yeah.
And you immediately, I was like, yep, that checks out. He seems like a really shitty guy.
Yeah. So it's starting to unfold in this part of the movie.
Yeah.
Who he really is. And then we, they're together at home again. And she's just basically flat out saying, like, look, I want a divorce.
Yeah.
And she's trying very, very hard to stick to her guns and like put her foot down and be like, look, I'm not. You assume that they've been through this at least two or three times.
Yeah. She and also it's
probably usually about his infidelity.
Yeah. He seems to also like that's another moment where he's like, I'm sorry. I have this wandering eye.
Aaron, you don't have to say it like you're a preacher. I'm sorry.
I can't help it. But he tells her like, I'm sorry about all of that, but can we sit down and pray on it? And she's like, I don't want to pray with you anymore. And I'm guessing that was a way for him to manipulate things.
Oh,
was
yeah.
For him to get her down on her knees and get her vulnerable to, cause being like hunched over, like in a praying position can be very manipulative. Like, cause you're at a vulnerable state. Like if someone like kicks you, like you're right in, I don't know. Like, it's just a vulnerable state to be in. And, like, your mind follows what your body gives. So if you're hunched over in a praying position, your mind is also going to follow in that way.
Right.
Of being like, I need to be devout to Jesus and da da da.
Yeah, and also it starts to line your brain up with, like, that I have to seek salvation.
Yeah. So I'm betting when he would be like, oh, we need to pray together. They would sit together and pray. And he'd be like, please forgive me for my sins. But also, she needs to work on this and this and this. And these are her flaws. And this is why I stay with her. And to make her feel like, oh, I also need, like, I understand why he did what he did, because I'm this horrible person.
Right.
And he probably manipulated her in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You really hit that nail over the head.
Yeah. Read in, like, a lot of times whenever we've, like, talked about movies, you've been like, well, what did you think about this? And I'm just like, whatever. But, like, I read so much into this because it hit so close to home.
Yeah. That's why this movie is so good, is because it feels very real. It feels very voyeuristic, like you're a fly on the wall. And that, like, that's a tense moment, and you're very scared for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's being very strong. And
yeah.
Fawcett really gives a good performance of this woman trying to be strong in the face of, you know, hardship like that. Like, there's a part where she unloads his gun and takes the bullets out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, like, she doesn't trust him to keep it together with a gun in the room,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge problem with guns. It's like people, they get angry and they're like, oh, there's this gun here, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a really good scene, one that really sticks out. But then he finally leaves and he's like, I'll grant you the divorce, essentially. And then he goes back to his mother's house. He's called to his mother's house, and there's a bunch of what do you call them? Parishioners or the board?
Yeah. The board is like, you can't be part of the parish anymore, because his wife is like one of the leaders at the parish.
Yeah. They're both on the board. But he's like the head priest or pastor preacher. There.
Yeah. But they say you can't be part of it anymore because she doesn't want you around. And instead of...
But everybody doesn't, because everybody knows about
him. But the parishioners don't. Like,
what are parishioners?
Parishioners are the people that go to the church.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. The flock probably doesn't.
Yeah. So whenever...
Or so they're having, just heard rumors.
They're having service, and his little friend was like, oh, you shouldn't do this. Don't do it, because they might kick you out. And he was like, the people love me. They're not going to kick me out. And I was like, you seem like such a narcissist.
Yeah, totally.
Or you definitely have narcissistic tendencies.
And well, let's explain it. He has a buddy who, it kind of seems like he helped this guy, like, kick his alcoholism.
Yeah.
Because this guy's very devoted to him.
And he's like, you saved me. You helped me when I needed you the most. And so he's been there for him.
Yeah. But he seems, he doesn't seem like a bad person. He seems empathic.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how narcissists use empathetic people and use them as their flying monkeys. And this guy is totally his flying monkey.
Absolutely.
Know? He wouldn't stand up to him and tell him, like, no, don't go to church.
Yeah.
I'm not taking you.
Yeah, he literally drives him there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, you shouldn't do this as I drive you to this church.
Yeah, and he withholds information from the police later on in the movie as well. But he goes to church, and he gives, like, $100 to the collection plate.
Yeah.
And then he sort of takes off, like...
Yeah. Well, okay. He's taunting his ex-wife.
Oh,
or his
okay.
soon-to-be ex-wife. Like,
yeah, he is tormenting her.
Yeah, he literally comes in, and everyone's like, woo, it's you! Sonny, blah, blah, blah. And, like, she's, like, playing the piano. People are having a good time before he gets there. And then you see him come in, and you see her just, like collapse into herself and in terror. Like, what is he going to do? Is he going to do something? Because she doesn't know what to expect from him.
Right.
And he puts money in the collection plate, and then he's, like, leaving after he dances around with some people.
Yeah. And then they have some sort of moment in the hallway with some people, like, outside in the front of the church.
Yeah, and they're like, you're not welcome here.
Yeah.
Do not come back.
Yeah. So then he leaves and he goes and yells at God.
Yeah, he goes to his mom's house and he's upstairs and he's yelling like, Jesus, this is my, like,
I'm mad at you, God.
I've always talked to you. You've always talked to me.
Well, I remember the part that I like was he goes, I love you with all my heart, but I'm mad at you.
Yeah.
That's something about this, these types of, like, I don't know, that sounds horrible, these types of people. But, like, that culture of, like, Southern Baptists, like, Southern Christianity, where, like, he's up there, like, all he needed to say was, like, man, I sure am mad at God right now.
Yeah.
But he's up there just going and going and going.
But his mom is sleeping in her room downstairs, and she gets this phone call, and it's the neighbor, and they're like, what is happening over there? Like, why is he screaming? And she kind of dismisses it and, like, starts smiling that he's, like, yelling upstairs. So you can see that she's also very manipulative, and, like, I can see where he gets it from.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's another very telling moment in the story.
For his mom.
Yeah. And then so the next day we see that he's drinking and he's not doing too hot. And so he goes to a Little League baseball game to see his kids.
Yeah. And his mom and her boyfriend are there because they're coaching the team. And he's like, oh, well, I'm going to take him. And she's like, I don't think she wanted to cause a scene. So she was like, okay, you can take them. Cause I don't think she thinks he'll hurt the kids.
No.
Because he loves them. Granted, he can love them all he wants, but he could still fucking hurt them. But he's trying to take them, and her boyfriend comes up to him, and I don't even know what he says. But
he just basically says, look, I'm sorry it happened this way, but it happened. So yeah. You need to accept it. But I do feel bad about it.
Yeah.
And he's basically a brick wall. And he's like, I don't care. And then the guy just pushes him too far. So he hits him with a baseball bat.
Yeah. He like swings that bat so hard on that guy's face.
Yeah. And so there's a whole big scene, and then people are running up to him and, like, praying for him. And that's something about this movie that I realized this time around is, like, literally every scene, no matter what happens, it's always God this, praise God, help us Jesus. They never once waver from that.
Yeah.
There's never any time where there's like, well, what should we do? I don't know. Go get some Tylenol. He's got a headache. It's like, pray for his headache to go.
Yeah.
Like, just ask me anything right now.
How's your vision?
My vision is perfect because God reached down and he blessed my eyeballs and my retinas. And he said, you use these beautiful visions so that you can see the light that I cast down from heaven, Joey.
Yeah.
That's everything.
Yeah. It's
like everything comes back to God, Jesus, the Bible.
Yeah.
Devil's bad.
Yes. And they kept saying, like, Satan's following me and all of that. And, oh, my God, there were so many times, like, I would have family members say stuff like that, and I would just cringe.
Yes, I know. But what I was just saying was, like, I really appreciate the movie
was consistent,
committed to that,
yeah,
and never wavered from it.
Yeah. So he hits him with a bat, and then everyone starts praying on him, and he grabs his ex-wife's hair and starts pulling her out, and she's like, "No, no!" like screaming, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, this guy needs to be stopped."
Yeah, and something that really stuck out to me was, like, his kids are like, "No, stop it!" And his
they want to run away.
Is like hitting him in the chest, I think, but like his kids are really scared and like, "Don't do that to our mom." Like, whew.
Yeah,
tense moment for sure.
Yeah, and they did it really, really well.
Yeah,
they did a really great job of all of that.
Yeah, it felt real. It didn't feel like super cinematic, like, you know, like a Fast and Furious movie fight or something. But it feels very real, but it also felt cinematic.
Yeah.
So I liked it. So then he goes on the run. And
He's driving down the road. He's trying to leave, and his friend comes up and he's like, "Don't tell anybody where I'm." Like, I'm not going to tell anyone where I'm going. Watch out for my mom. Watch out for my wife, my kids. But I'm gonna leave. I'll call you, collect.
Yeah,
that's what he tells him.
Yeah, and then he leaves and he's driving, but he doesn't really know where to go to.
Yeah,
they show him at a crossroads, and he kind of does a circle. Mm-hmm. And then decides to go down one of the roads.
Yeah.
And then he pushes his car into a river or probably a bayou.
Yeah, probably a bayou.
Because this is like southern Texas or...
I'm guessing like southeast Texas.
Yeah, southeast near Louisiana, because he winds up in Louisiana.
Yeah.
But do you know the difference between a bayou and a river?
A river leads out to the ocean.
No, bayou is a very slow-moving river. It's about how quick it moves.
Oh, okay.
That's why they call Houston Bayou City. It's because we have... I've always wondered...
They're just slower.
Yeah, but I always wonder that because I'd see like these... Like, Sims Bayou is huge. I'm like, it's a river. And then somebody said on something I was listening to, it's like, oh, they just move a lot slower because it's so flat.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's the difference between a bayou and a river. Your thing might be right too. I don't know.
I think there are like some things lead out to rivers where like, I think creeks lead out to rivers.
Yeah.
Because like they're also like the bayous lead out to the ocean, I think.
Yeah. So they go out to Galveston Bay.
Yeah. So they all lead. You're probably right.
Anyway, who cares? And then, you know, he's driving around. And does he see the people on the boat, on the boats driving by to get blessed?
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool. I was like, I would do that. I would get on one because they had these decorated boats and it was like a parade. And then they would go by a pastor and he would like bless you.
It was a priest and he was like.
Was he baptizing people?
I don't know. I don't think he was baptizing people. He was just giving them holy water.
Okay.
Like there's like a. There's a certain time of the year where in the Catholic Church, like it's usually around Easter time, and they'll take what Jesus walked on, and then they'll dip it in holy water, and then they'll like sling it and like hit you in the face. And whenever it hits you, you do the sign of the cross.
So violent.
Well, it doesn't
sling stuff and hit you in the face.
Well, it doesn't necessarily hit you in the face. It might hit you on the arm or whatever, but like it's just drops of holy water.
Yeah. Well, I remember when we were watching that part, I was thinking like, oh, I would do that. I would get on one of those boats. That looks fun. But then also when he's looking at it, I'm thinking like, there's no way those two things happened on the same day.
What do you mean?
Like they probably sent out a second unit to get shots of stuff. And they're like, oh, there's this thing happening at the river.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go film it. And then later they have to get a reaction shot of Robert Duvall being like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. We got different religions, but we got to get it somehow.
Yeah.
That's what he says or something like that.
Yeah. And then, so he happens upon, like an older black man, like fishing in a bayou or a river or something like that. A guy with crutches.
Yeah.
And he stops to just chat with them, and
the guy offers him like a place to stay. Like he's like, I got one of those little pop up tents,
yeah,
that my kids like to play in, and he's like, I'll sleep in that.
Also, he tells him about he's got like a brother or a cousin or something
that's later on. Like after that night, he's like cooking fish and everything. He's setting up his tent, and then that night happens, and you see the guy that was in the. That was fishing, that was in the house. You see him grab his gun because he's a black man.
Yeah.
And he sees this white man that needs help. And I think he's like, do you really need help? Or are you going to do something to hurt me?
Yeah. That would be creepy as hell.
Yeah.
To have some, like, even the race thing aside.
Yeah.
Like, that would be weird to just have some guy be like, hey, can I sleep in a tent in your backyard?
Yeah.
I would be like, no, get the hell out of here.
So he lets him sleep over, but he sleeps with a gun that night.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was funny the way he's like, I'm sleeping with my gun tonight.
Yeah. And I also think he was talking to himself because he was like praying and stuff. And so he grabbed his gun also being like, well, what is this guy? Who's this guy talking to? He must be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so the next day he decides to baptize himself.
In the river while the guy's fishing.
Yeah. And the guy comes back and sees him like doing this self-baptism and is like, whoa.
Yeah.
But that's when he baptizes himself Apostle EF.
Yeah.
Instead of Sonny because he's on the run.
Mm-hmm. For attempted murder.
For attempted murder, yes.
At this point. Yeah. It's attempted murder.
Is it? Did they ever say what it was?
Yeah.
Because they said the guy's in a coma.
Yeah, but then we find out at the end later.
Well, at the end, he's charged with homicide.
Yeah. So he's dead.
I don't think... No, whatever. Who cares? It's really not that important.
You can't be charged with homicide unless someone's dead.
Yeah, I know that.
So, so he died in a coma.
I would think... This is such a stupid thing for us to be talking about. But if the...
It's kind of a stupid move.
He hit the guy with a bat... In a heated moment, they would probably just charge him with aggravated assault.
Oh, probably. Point. Okay.
If later on, if they in the court, if they were like, "Hey, I think we can prove this guy had a motive,"
mm-hmm.
and the chose to kill him, then they would go for attempted murder if the guy hadn't died.
Mm-hmm.
But he died later, so yeah. they charged him with homicide.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Law Corner. Somebody call Robert for Law Corner. All right. So my notes, I stopped taking notes after this because I'm just like, I'm really into the movie at this point.
Oh, okay. So, well, they're walking back to his house after he baptized himself. He's like, yeah, I'm a preacher. And the guy that he stayed with, he was like, oh yeah, my brother was a preacher or his uncle or a cousin or something.
Yeah.
They were a preacher, but they're not preaching anymore. They're retired. And he was like, oh, where are they at? And he told him where they were at, which is in Louisiana. I don't remember what it was called.
I don't either. But he says it's right down the road, maybe an hour. So it's easy for him to get to. And he goes to this town and he shows up there and he runs into Uncle Baby Billy.
Yeah.
From the Righteous Gemstones. And you didn't recognize him right away, right?
No, not at first.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until he smiled.
Yeah, you see those big old teeth he's got.
And I was like, oh no, it's Uncle Baby Billy.
Yeah. And he helps him fix a truck.
Yeah.
And then the radio guy pokes his head out the window and it's like, hey, are you the new mechanic? And he's like, yeah, I can fix anything or
yeah,
something like that. And then he asked where that...
the Reverend was.
Yeah.
And so he goes in search for the Reverend Brown, I think it was.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Or was it like Blackwell or something?
Blackwell, that's what it was.
Yeah, Brother Blackwell.
So he finds him and he's like, I want to start this new church here. And I want to start it with you.
And he's like, you know, typical of this movie, he's saying like, the Lord sent me to you. And he's like, how do I know that? Yeah. And he's like, I'll find out if the Lord really didn't send. Mm-hmm. See, like, these people really do feel like they have a strong connection with God.
Yeah.
And but he convinces him to let him preach and start a church.
Yeah.
And then they go to see this church, but it's run down.
Yeah.
And the guy, he says, like, I'll work and you can take it out of my paycheck and all yeah. this stuff.
And he's like, well, the land and the church are mine. Like,
yeah,
I own it. It just has some, like, back taxes on it or something.
I don't understand how it has back taxes because churches don't pay taxes.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe after it wasn't a church anymore.
Maybe. Maybe the land. I don't know.
Yeah. But then they show Robert Duvall's character, like, working some odd jobs.
Yeah, and he's like at an ice cream shop.
Yeah, and he really likes kids because the kid comes up and asks him for a snow cone. He's like, "We don't have snow cones, but here, have this sucker, have this yeah. lollipop." And then he goes to see the radio guy, and he's like, "Hey, can I preach on your radio?" And he's like, "You got to pay me because I've had some preachers like you leave town." And he says, "You can't speak in tongues." And he's like, "Don't worry about it. I won't speak in tongues."
Yeah. And then he lets them on the air.
Yeah, he lets them on the air after a while, but they start building this church. They get a church bus going.
Yeah, they start like decorating it. Sorry. Yeah. They start decorating this church bus. And so you see, like, he kind of has, he's like a jack of all trades. Like, he's able to do like a lot of different little things.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I was getting at.
Oh, it doesn't matter. But then he, there's a woman that works in the office at the radio, and she seems like kind of interested in him. She likes the way he preaches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he asks her out to dinner. And they go eat, and yeah.
But before this, like, they go to this like party, this like church party or something,
right?
And I just wanted to point out that one of the captions said, "All people are hooting."
All people are hooting.
Yeah, it said.
The
caption said.
Captions on Prime.
The caption said, "All hooting."
All hooting.
Because everyone was having a hoot and a holler.
A hooting and a hollering.
I thought it was funny.
Okay.
That was it.
Yeah. And then he calls his buddy from there, right?
Yeah. He's like, he calls his friend and he's like, "Hey, how's my wife? Do they know where I'm at?" And he's like, "No, I don't even know where you're at. Have the police come by?" He said that the police came by, but he didn't know where you were, which is the truth.
Yeah. So he has plausible deniability.
Yeah. And then he goes, "But your mom is in the hospital. She's not doing too well, and I go visit her every day."
Yeah. And also, what do you think about this character? Do you think that there's good in this guy at this point? Or do you think, like, one of our birds is going crazy?
He's mad. No, I'm just kidding. I'm thinking he's mad.
He's yelling at our other bird, Dio.
He's like, "Get your ass over there. Figure out what that is."
So by this point in the movie, do you think this guy is just like an unredeemable piece of shit? Or
the preacher?
Yeah.
Yes.
The main character?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of people would watch this and be like, "Oh, maybe there's some good in him." But to me, by this point, it's like you've had a lot of time to think over what you're doing and how many people you're hurting. And you could turn yourself in.
Yeah.
And make all this go away. And do the right thing, but you're still not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's kind of early to say this, but for me, through this whole movie, I just like, this guy is not a good person.
No.
He has so many opportunities to do the right thing, and he never does it.
Yeah.
Until, like, finally the cops are like, "You're coming with us." And then he finally is like, "Okay, I'll go with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, there's back to the movie. They're getting the church ready. And something that I thought was super weird was, like, there were all these random kids singing these songs while they're fixing up the church. And I was like, where the hell did these kids come from? Like, it wasn't his kids.
Well, if I'm doing some work for the movie, I'm thinking he needs cheap labor. So he goes around to these people, these other good Christian people, and he's like, "Hey, I'm building a church. Can your son come work? And I'll give him like 10 bucks.
Yeah.
So, like, pay a kid $10 for a whole day, or you can pay a laborer like $10 an hour.
Yeah.
So. Also, he could say, like, "I'm starting a youth group too." So.
Yeah. Maybe. But they were singing like these Christian songs. But I was just like, where the hell did all these kids come from? Because the first day of church, there's not that many people that go.
No, there isn't. But that's why I think they were just cheap labor.
Yeah. But he takes this woman on a date, and he's so creepy on the date.
Yeah.
He is such a creep. He's constantly like, "Well, how am I doing on this date? Later on, can I come over to your house?" And she's like, "Well, I'm still married, we're separated, but like I'm still dealing with stuff." Like,
yeah, like newly separated.
Yeah.
And then I think it's so funny that he has a fucking Trans Am. He has a sports car, like that Smokey and the Bandit sports car.
I don't realize
like this old guy. I pay attention to cars, you know that.
Yeah.
But it was just so funny. He has this like young hot boy car, and then he's all old and he's got this date. But, like, he takes her home, and he's, like, really, really trying to get her to kiss him.
Yeah.
It to the point where it's like, okay.
Stop.
Stop. It's uncomfortable. She's made it clear she doesn't want to kiss you.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And he's like, "Can I have a hug?" And, whenever she was like, "Okay, fine.
Could I have a hug?"
It's like, it's so you're pathetic. Such a disgusting person. Because, like, you know that there are men that will beg for like small little interactions like that to try to like get their way in, and it's so creepy. I've had people do it to me, like, "Oh, well, let me hug you. I don't want to hug you. Get away from me.
Yeah,
no, I don't want to kiss you."
Many interactions like that.
Yeah, it's so disgusting. So it was very cringy, and I was like, "Girl, stay away from him."
Girl, bye. So then they fix up the church bus, and they go physically pick people up to go to church. And they're pretty excited about it because they haven't had a church to go to in a while. Mm-hmm. And they're preaching, and he's preaching, and he's got kids singing songs and all kinds of stuff.
I mean, they start the church up, and then more people start coming. And then he eventually gets, like, a lot of people to go to this church.
Yeah, he gets a pretty good number of people to go to the church.
And this man comes by, and he kind of stops in and is like, "Well, what is this church, and what is all this stuff?"
Well, you know who that is.
No.
It's Billy Bob Thornton. Bad Santa. We watch Bad Santa.
Oh.
He was Bad Santa.
Oh, okay. I didn't recognize him.
Well, he was a little bit chubbier in this.
Yeah, he was a lot
And he bigger. Wasn't wearing a wig. Like, he wears a wig in most movies, but in this he wasn't wearing a wig. But he looks a little different, and he's acting strange, and then they go outside. He's like, "Let me talk to you outside." And he's
like, "You
up,
can leave." And he's like, "I don't want to leave." And he's like, "I wrote down the line, I may be a preacher, but I can kick your ass." Because that's all I could think of.
Whenever. You know what you did when you said that? It reminded me of
Talladega Nights.
Yeah, done.
Yeah, that's the point.
I'm 10 years old, but I'll beat your ass.
Yeah.
But when they go outside to talk, he's like, "Let's go outside." And Billy Bob Thornton just straight up drops N-word.
Yeah.
Right. So we're like, okay, this guy's a racist. Yeah. He doesn't like to see a black church near his house or whatever he does. And so they go out there, and Robert Duvall kicks his ass.
Yeah.
Which is really funny to me. I really like this part in the movie. And I also like that they don't show it. You know, they're out in the darkness. He at least has the decency to be like, "I don't want my congregation to see this, so I'll go in the dark and beat them up."
Well, that some of the kids are like, "I've never seen a preacher kick ass like that."
Yeah, yeah. But I like it. But even though it is the wrong thing to do, like, he shouldn't have done that.
No, yeah.
But it lines up with his character.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and literally, I like it for that reason. My next note, like, after he comes back in, and like people are singing and stuff while he's beating him up, and he comes back in, he's like, "That's not, I know I'm supposed to turn the other cheek, but nobody's going to take this church from me," and all this other shit. And I wrote down the note, I can see people watching this and thinking he's a good guy, and others thinking like, this preacher, this isn't real. Like, preachers wouldn't actually do this. And it's like, there are shitty preachers. There's a lot of shitty preachers.
Uh-huh.
But also, like, I can see some people thinking like, "Yeah, hell yeah, that's a great preacher. He's beating the shit out of people for their church."
Yeah, there's tons of people out there who thinks it's okay to start a fight with somebody else because, like, that person they perceive to be as bad or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's ridiculous. Like, there's so many avenues that you could have done. Like, you could have just gone back inside and locked the door.
Yeah.
Could have called the police. Like, the police will come to a church.
Yeah.
And you could have had the you know, you can get the police, an off-duty police, you can pay them to come to your church.
Yeah.
During your services.
Well, I think he didn't want police there because he was on the run.
I'm just saying, like, if you think this is good, like, there are ways that you can deal with shitty people. I'm saying, like, this is what you could do if you were a normal person.
Yeah.
I'm not, because, like I said, this perfectly lines up with his character, which is why I like it so much.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him at this point in the movie. I'm not here to see him redeem himself.
Yeah. And
I don't
this
care
is,
about that.
Yeah. This is the same night that woman who he went on that date with goes to his church and watches him, and she sees him fight him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
And then he brings her back home, and that's when he tries to kiss her.
Yeah, again.
And he does kiss her. And like, it looks so nasty. Like, he's like forcing himself on her. And I just hated him even more.
Yeah, because there's one point where she says, like, maybe some other time.
Well, he's like, let me come in. And she's like, well, maybe next time.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, no, like now, like, let me in. And all this other stuff. And it's like, leave her alone. She said no.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, in my mind, he's really blowing it because she does like him.
Yeah.
She has feelings for him. And it's like, if you just didn't move so fast,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, when I see guys doing that, I'm like, you're going to blow it. Like, you have a clear path to something.
Yeah.
But you're trying to jump the gun.
And mm-hmm. Yeah. So then the next day or the next scene is at like a little like church picnic. Like they've got like the whole congregation there. They're like celebrating.
The radio guy is doing like a remote broadcast. Yeah.
And that guy comes back. The guy he beat up.
With a bulldozer.
With a bulldozer and a bunch of friends. And he's like, I'm going to tear that church down and all this other shit. And he's like, well, you can run over this Bible because God will strike you down if you do. And all this other shit. He's like, well, I'll just pick it up. Which that would have been exactly what I would do. I'm like, I'll just pick it up.
Yeah. Okay. Here. I want you to go find a Bible somewhere and throw it in the trash. Do it.
One time. Actually, I have a story about this. I don't know. Let me finish. Let you finish this.
No. Could you just throw a Bible in the trash?
Yes.
Because I swear, I think even like an atheist like me would be like, wait a minute.
Okay, so I have a story.
Because there's that fear that the Christian religion puts in you that'd be like, oh my God, wait. There are so many people out there right now who are atheist or agnostic or something like that and cannot admit it to themselves because they are so afraid of going to hell.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see that.
You know people who go to church because they're afraid. Yeah. They say they believe in God because they're afraid.
Yeah. I have a really funny story about my grandpa, actually.
Okay.
So I grew up in the Catholic Church, as everyone has now knows.
You mention it every episode. Just like I say, I was born in Houston every episode.
Okay. Anyways. So I never had, like, we never really had Bibles in our house because, like, we would hear, like, we would read them at the church. And, like, what we would.
Well, in Catholicism, the people aren't supposed to read the Bible. It's supposed to be interpreted through the priest.
Yeah. But, so, like, we never really had, like, we had, like, two Bibles in our house.
Did your parents have any books in your house?
Not really. but we did, we had like one, we had like, one or two Bibles and, something that I didn't know that people did in other religion, like other Christian religion is highlight in their books. And I was like, what? It dumbfounded
somebody
me.
Somebody wrote all in his Bible. I'm gonna throw it away.
Hold on. It's worse. And my grandpa found me doing this.
I like where this is juicy. I like this.
So my grandpa gave me this Bible and it had all this highlighting and this writing in it. And I was like, what the hell is this? I don't want to read your shit. So I was going through every single page and ripping out the pages that had highlighting or had been written on. And I was throwing them in a fire pit. My grandpa walked up on me. He was like, what the hell are you doing? And I was like, I don't want to read a Bible that has a bunch of highlighting in it.
Grandpa, these pages ain't no good. Somebody wrote all of them.
He's like, that's my writing. Because it was his Bible.
Oh, that's what my aunt's Bible looked like.
I swear to God, he was like, this is a devil child. So, I would be fine throwing a Bible away.
Okay. Sure. Maybe you, but I know that there's people out there who are just like, they would be like, well, I don't need this. And then they would go to throw it away. And they'd be like, well, should I? You know,
yeah.
There's that fear that they put in you since you're a child. Like, I grew up in a Christian family, I would say, but we never went to church, and my parents, my grandparents, my aunts didn't ever teach us about any of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't grow up with any of that.
Yeah.
I was pretty old when I realized that all that stuff about having to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I was probably like third or fourth grade before I knew that was like a requisite. I thought people were literally just born to a religion.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah. One of my things about why I was like, this is fine if I rip these pages out and throw it away, because there's so many Bibles. And like,
no, everyone is anointed by God. Every single one.
Okay. You can buy them at freaking Costco.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to go to Costco and get my monthly, bulk Bible. Like, you buy Bibles like you buy Diet Coke or something.
Well, maybe for, I don't know.
I got a 12-pack of Bibles. All right. So anyway, where were we in the movie?
He was forcing himself on her.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the guy is going to run over the Bible with his bulldozer. Yes, that's it. Yeah,
Billy Bob Thornton.
And they put two Bibles down, and his friend next to him, he's like, pick it up. And the guy goes, I'm going to pick that up. And he walks away.
He's the guy that I'm talking about. With my Bible analogy. Yeah, he's that guy that I'm talking, like, he's probably never been to church in his life, but then he's like, oh, I ain't touching that
bus. Yeah. And then Billy Bob Thornton, he comes around the front of the bulldozer, and the preacher's like, you bend down to pick that up. I dare you. And he bends down to pick it up, and he like kneels down next to him. He's like, we're going to pray.
This is kind of the scenario that you laid out with his wife earlier in the movie. That I didn't think about, but
keep going.
He's like what you laid out that you saw him make his wife do. He's now doing to Willie Bobby and manipulating
him. Yeah.
Cause you could look at this as like, he converts this guy or just he manipulates
him. He manipulated him. And he was like, you didn't come here to break down this church. And he was like, no, I didn't. It's like, you did. You did. You brought a bulldozer. You definitely brought.
I don't know, because
I think he went over. He didn't really want a bulldozer building, but he wanted to scare the shit out of them so that they would leave.
Yeah, maybe that is what it is. But like Willie Bobby, he's a really good actor, and you could see sort of a duality in him. Like when he first goes to the church, there's a part of him that wants to be like, I want to be a part of something like this too.
Yeah.
And then there's another part of him that's like, but I'm a full-on racist.
Yeah.
You know, like. So there's this push and pull in him, like, do I join a church with black people or do I keep being someone filled with hate and do I bulldoze it?
But whenever that happened, I said, I can see so many manipulation tactics that he's using when he bends down. Like, being crouched over is such a vulnerable position.
Yeah.
And he manipulates him into, well, I mean, granted, he manipulates him in a way that he's not going to destroy property or hurt people. So that's good.
Yeah. he truly did use his power for good in this scenario. Yes.
But it's also very, it was also still very manipulative. And it just shows me, it made me think of all of the times that I've been to, like, any, like, church function where they, like, have music playing really soft, and they're like, if there's anyone in this house, open the eyes of my heart, that needs to reach out.
In the arms of the angel.
Okay.
No, you were supposed to keep going. Okay.
If there's anyone in this house tonight who has been searching, trying to find Jesus, come forth and let him touch you. You know?
Yeah, I know.
And so, all of the times that those things would happen in my life, I was just like, those are so manipulative.
Yeah.
Every single time that happens.
Absolutely.
Like, there's people that go to like these Christian like gatherings where there's these huge crowds, and they like play this like really like amped up music, and then they bring it down, and like they manipulate you to feel a certain way.
There are thousands of stories of people that I've come across in my life and like heard podcasts about and comedy bits about mm-hmm. people being manipulated like this.
And yeah.
Yeah. It's all over the place. He's on the radio trying to sell what were those things? Like shawls?
Oh, yeah. Some kind of shawl to pray with.
Yeah. Something like that for $7.95. But
somehow.
This is a real thing that happens.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So AM radio at night, when the horizon changes,
mm-hmm.
the wave bounces off of it and back down to the ground. And you can start picking up AM, not FM, AM stations from really far away.
Oh.
Yeah. It specifically at night for some reason. I don't remember exactly why, but it's something about how the wave works for AM.
Oh, weird. I had no idea.
Yeah. And I remember doing this when I was a kid. I used to listen to the radio a lot when I was a kid. And you could pick up some weird stuff at night.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, she hears him and she recognizes his voice, her Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah.
And then, so that's when she calls.
She hears him and she's like, wait, is that Sonny?
Yeah.
And he says where he's at.
Yeah, because he has it so that they can send their money.
Yeah.
Right? So she calls homicide mm-hmm. because now this guy Horace has died from his injuries.
Yeah.
And they come to get him and he's in the... Also, he goes to Blackwell to confess.
Yeah. After this moment, he goes and confesses to him. And you see Uncle Baby Billy outside the window.
Yeah.
Listening and hearing all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't change his mind.
No, it doesn't.
You think it's going to change his mind, but it doesn't.
I thought I remember Uncle Baby Billy. He was the one who called the police. When I saw it previously.
Hmm.
But I guess it wasn't.
I could see him doing that. Like, yeah. Whenever he was, like, listening in, it looked like the facial expressions he was giving was, like, in shock. I can't believe this man would do this. I need to call the police.
Yeah, that's what I thought, that he was the one who tipped off the police. But then I read online that it was Jesse. But then again, what's good about this movie is, like, the open-endedness to it.
Yeah.
It kind of lets you make up your own mind. Because he seems extra upset.
Yeah.
When they come to take away Robert Duvall.
Mm-hmm.
And also, this is like Robert Duvall is at this restaurant and he sees his wannabe girlfriend trying to reconcile with her separated husband.
Yeah.
And she's with her kids. And that's when he's like,
I can never work. I can never look through that window again.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's when he goes to confess to Blackwell. And then Blackwell says, like, look, we love you and we'll keep your secret.
Yeah.
Right.
When they come, they'll come. But but we'll have some things in place.
Yeah.
So like they've put a bunch of jewelry together so that whenever the cops come and take him, like they don't take his jewelry and they can sell it.
Yeah.
He
puts it on top of the hood of the cop car.
Well, there's other, he said it's in the middle of the church.
Oh, okay.
So I'm guessing he stored other jewelry or other expensive things so that they can sell it and give it to the church.
Yeah. And the ending for this movie is very long. He gives a full church service.
Oh my God, it's so long.
Yeah. And he goes to he asks people in the church for testimonials and they say how happy they are that he came to their town and all this stuff. And I don't know what he's trying to do because it's not like the cops can hear it and be like, oh, we'll leave. You can stay here.
Oh, never mind.
You know what? Let's just forget about this whole homicide thing. You seem like a pretty good preacher. And so they take him off, and Uncle Baby Billy, or Sammy, he is in the movie, seems really upset. But you kind of think like, oh, Sammy is going to take over the church. Like he's sort of handing it off to this guy. And you think, oh, well, Sammy's actually a good person.
Yeah.
So
Sammy's the one that's grown the most.
Yeah. It's really kind of his movie in a way, because he's the one who grows. But you say like, okay, at least because the congregation is good people.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, you're saying to yourself, well, at least they're in good hands and there's somebody who's going to continue to do the work that Robert Duvall set up.
Yeah.
So you're not worried about the people of the congregation at this point.
Yeah.
And they take him away. And the credits roll, and you're like, okay, kind of an abrupt ending.
Well, there's this one part during his sermon that he says, the Holy Ghost will enter you. And I said, that sounds so inappropriate.
How many times has the Holy Ghost entered you?
None.
None? None times?
None times. I don't really know how he would enter me. It just sounds so inappropriate.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost will enter you and enter you and enter you and penetrate your heart.
Penetrate your heart.
Yeah. I just was like, we need to do a bunch of, I thought people would hate this. Religious people would hate if we just came up with like a bunch of ways that the Holy Spirit could enter you.
Yeah, well, there was, I don't know if you, have you ever been a South Park person?
No.
Fan? I never was a big South Park person, but I had a lot of friends who would watch it, mm-hmm. so I would just watch it. And there was one where Cartman becomes like a Christian singer.
Mm-hmm.
And literally every song he sings is an innuendo. So there's like this one is like, Lord, I want to feel your salvation rain down all over my face. It was really funny. But yeah. And so the credits roll, but then it flashes to him on like a chain gang, like a prison work crew. And what's he doing? He's preaching the Lord.
Preaching about Jesus.
And then
everyone's replying, Jesus.
Yeah. So you kind of get the feeling watching it. It's like, this guy was put on earth for one thing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't to be a good person.
Yeah. There was also this one part where they're at the congregation, like before he leaves. And like he has like five other people up there. And there's a bunch of men in the audience. And he's like, they're like saying these things. And they all put a fist up and say, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. And every time I saw them do that, I was like, they look like Nazis. You know?
Yeah, they did.
It was really creepy, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, a lot of this Christianity stuff, it creeps me out. It always has. It's so weird. It's the hive mind that these people get from living their whole life only knowing that. It's creepy to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's our movie.
Yeah.
The 1997 Apostle. And Aaron, I want to get your no bullshit assessment. What did you think of this movie?
I thought the movie was done really well. Like the characters that they portrayed were portrayed quite accurately. Like I feel like the person that was the preacher, I could see him as someone that was a well-respected and trusted person in my hometown. And I can see him also doing all those horrible things because there's a lot of really shitty people that have positions of power and they take advantage of it. And that's what I feel like he's doing. And so the movie is very accurate, but it makes me very uncomfortable for the same reason.
Right.
Absolutely. And so, would I watch it again? No, because it made me feel uncomfortable, but I appreciate the accuracy of the story and of what they were performing. The performances were really fantastic. If you don't like religion,
this is a great movie.
This is a great movie for you. Yeah. I feel like people that are also religious, it would be like 50-50. Like they absolutely hate this movie because they're like, this is not a good representation of my church. But then there's also some people being like, he's a good man.
Yeah.
And like being like, I would follow him into the dark.
Into the deepest darks of my closet and let him force himself on me and kiss and hug me.
What?
Yeah. That's right on point. For me, I love this movie. I've watched it like probably five or six times. I recommend it to everybody because I love how the movie is very, it asks a lot of questions. It doesn't give you very many answers. Mm-hmm. It's very open to interpretation. So I recommend it to everybody just so that I can hear what they have to say about it.
Because
it's fun for me. to, because you can't watch this movie without your whole life experience, whether you're a Christian or not, or you grew up in the South or not, or whether you're black or white or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is very American.
Yeah.
And we all have a life that we think about when we're assessing this movie and assessing this character.
Yeah.
And I like it for that reason. I don't, we were talking last night about, is it okay for someone to be a piece of shit if they're good at their job?
Hell no.
And I said, no, I don't think there's any reason we should protect people who are shitty. I don't care if they're Harvey Weinstein or Jim Jones or Donald Trump. It doesn't matter to me. If you're a piece of shit, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I want virtuous people, or at least normal people.
People that have decent morals.
Yeah. We're all flawed. You know,
yes. But when people make mistakes.
Yes, and people make mistakes. But when that's all you do is hurt and abuse other people, I don't care how good of a film director you are, Woody Allen. Get the fuck out of here.
Shots fired.
I don't care how good of an actor, what's his name is? Kevin Spacey. I don't care how good of an actor you are. You abuse people. You shouldn't be allowed to make movies.
Yeah.
Sorry. If that makes me an asshole, I'll be an asshole.
Yeah.
I don't care.
But that doesn't make you an asshole. That makes you moral. Because your morals are appropriate.
I guess. It doesn't even really have anything to do with morals. I think it's just, do you think it's okay to abuse people?
No.
I don't.
Absolutely not.
No.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's going to do it for our movie. And now we're going to play a little game.
A little gamey game.
So Erin, we've established, doesn't know movies very well.
Nope.
And she doesn't really know who Robert Duvall is until we talked about this movie. Is that true to say?
True.
Can you name another movie he's been in?
No.
Okay. So right now we're going to play The Secret Word with Robert Duvall films.
Ooh.
Okay. So how this is going to work, I am going to look at the title of a Robert Duvall movie, and then without saying the title, I'm going to get to see if I can get Erin to guess what it is. So, for example, one movie that he was in, Erin, you prepare potatoes like this. And you will say...
Boiled.
Boiled. No, but this is what you do to potatoes if you want them to be like smooth.
Mash.
He was in Mash.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to do that with some other movies. So I'm just going to look up a movie real quick.
I feel like I can see your screen too much.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to shield my eyes.
All right.
But nothing's big enough.
Okay. So can you,
I'm good. I can't see it.
No. But like cover your ears for a second so I can say the title of the movie. Okay. All right. So the secret movie is Colors from 1988. Okay. All right.
Can you hear my humming?
All right. So, Erin.
you'll have to cut that out.
So, when Joliet, she's like, I need some paper. And she's like, I want to draw a picture. What do you give her?
A pencil?
Yeah, pencil. But like people say it because like crayons have different
colors.
Yes. That's the movie, Colors. From 1988 with Sean Penn. So are you seeing how this is working now?
Yep.
Okay. So
have you said all of the titles already?
No.
Okay, so we're going to have to hum again?
You know what? No, I don't want to go in and put this in later. Screw it. We'll just do one. And then, so this is a movie from 1976.
It might be fun for them to try to guess too.
Okay, yeah, okay. That's a good point. So, when the Wi-Fi goes down, what do you say?
Shit.
Like, they're like, oh, is this down? And, you know, or you know when you want to catch a butterfly, you use a...
net?
Yeah, and then when you say the internet is down, you say the...
internet is not working.
You go to school, you are at
work,
right? So then put the
Network,
yeah. Okay. So he was in a movie called Network in 1976.
Are all of these single words?
No, I'm going to get up to more difficult ones.
Oh, God.
There's one that he was in called Aliens from Another Planet. I think that one'd be too hard. Mm. Okay, so this is a movie from 1990, and it stars, along with Robert Duvall, Tom Cruise.
Does not make any sense. I don't...
Okay, so when there's lightning, there's...
glass.
When there's lightning, there's... what's the sound?
Thunder.
Thunder, okay.
Thunder and... down under.
And there was a soap opera called Something of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, so...
Thunder of Our Lives. Thunder Lives.
No.
Thunder Lives.
The soap opera's first. The first word of the...
Days of Thunder.
Yes, Days of Thunder.
I've heard of that movie. I don't know what it's about at all.
That is about NASCAR.
Oh, my God.
All right, so how many more of these do you want to do?
Four.
Oh, I just realized Robert Duvall was in The Godfather, so...
You make me an offer I can't refuse.
Okay, so this is a movie he did with Will Ferrell in 2005. You know, like when you have a kid and they're throwing a fit and you say, like, I had to drag them away.
Tantrum?
Yeah, but like when they're throwing a tantrum, what's like, I had to drag them away blank and blank.
To time out?
No, what's the action? It's like a verb.
Discipline?
You know, when I make my voice real high pitched and...
falsetto?
When I'm scared, like... like, if you're in a haunted house and someone scares you, you do what?
I jump.
With your voice.
Scream.
Yes. And then when you drag a toddler, they are...
running and screaming.
Different word for running.
Dragging. A different word for running? Walking.
Okay. Karate people.
Karate.
Chuck Norris, he does what with his foot?
And kick. Leg. Kicking and screaming.
Yes, kicking and screaming. I love this game. Okay, so here, this is a movie he did in the 70s with Marlon Brando. Is he in that?
I don't know what that means.
I don't think he's in that. Never mind. Okay, so this is a movie he did with Michael Douglas in 1993. Okay, so when you trip, you do what?
Fall.
You fall. And then the bottom layer of a two-story house is?
First floor. First story.
When you do that one pose, that's like a dog and...
downward.
Yeah, down. And so
fall down,
but it's progressive.
Falling down.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, let me look for one more. Some of these movies I'm not even sure if he was in.
Give me one with a really long title.
With a really long title. Oh my God, we're never gonna get this.
Hooray.
Okay. So, when it gets dark outside, it's
night.
Okay. And then there's a state that's a couple, like one state over from us, and it's
New Mexico.
Yeah. But somebody might say that the country below us is
Mexico,
but the opposite of new.
Old Mexico?
Yeah, so after dark in this country.
Night in Old Mexico?
Yes, it's called A Night in Old Mexico.
Oh, look at me.
I feel like I'm the one doing all the work here. All right, so that's going to do it for our episode. This is a pretty decently long episode for us.
Yeah, well, there's like 10 minutes of it where I'm talking to my dad.
Oh, right, but I'm going to cut that out.
Yeah.
So we don't have to hear your conversation with your dad.
One-sided conversation. You probably actually would be able to hear him through it.
Yeah.
My dad's very loud.
Yeah. So just what's the next movie that we're going to be doing?
Our next movie is Runaway Bride.
Right.
And this is a flipped episode, and I will be hosting it.
Yes.
Because Joey has not seen it.
I have never seen Runaway Bride. It came out when I was a teenager, and it looked so stupid.
I used to watch this movie constantly, as much as I possibly could.
Do you think it's going to hold up to your expectations of a child?
No. But I do remember it like reminiscing Pretty Woman.
Yeah, because it's got the same lead actor.
Two actors.
But you know, I've never seen Pretty Woman either.
Really?
No. You haven't seen it?
Oh my God. We should do that one instead.
Yeah, we can. Wait, you got to decide right now. We got to tell the listeners.
Oh my gosh. Let's do Pretty Woman.
Okay. Next week, we're going to do Pretty Woman.
Hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. If you want to write in and tell us how stupid we are, it's Joey and Aaron. Wait, hold on.
Joey and Aaron Pod.
Joey and Aaron Pod @gmail.com.
I guess.
We don't have anything else to talk about?
If you want to... Matt hasn't posted it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Nope, that is it.
That's it, I guess.
Okay, well, thank you guys for listening to This Has Been
You Haven't Seen It.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.